Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
just
can...
talk to film!
I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
What's up, fools? Yeah, it's your boy Ryan and and your boy Brad, the B-Dog.
What's up, Movie Land? You talk about movies and reviewing movies, yeah. Man.
Let me tell you the 10 reasons why I hated The Odyssey.
We're going to chop that movie. You're chopped for real.
The Odyssey has been struggling in Denver. Why does the IMAX theater keep on breaking down? It's like making national news.
I don't know. It's like a 50-year-old machine that like doesn't get a lot of use.
Also, that I told you when I went and saw Top Gun there, they really need to like freshen up that theater.
Yeah, the carpet's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh, so when I went to see The Odyssey there, it's like I think 5 minutes before it started, this dude walks in with his like huge tray of like four sodas and then like a bag of popcorn or whatever, and he comes around the corner, you know how it's laid out.
Yeah,
he's like looking up to the seats, and all of a sudden you just hear this like thud of whole tray of sodas just like boosh in that corner, and then like he's laughing because he's like, of course. And then like the rest of us are just like duh. the whole wave of people is like and then but yeah, like when I left the theater, looking at the carpet, like like that had happened, but like also like 20 years of just like other shit like that was packed into this, like they need to like
it really needs to be freshened up. But yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
And like, what do you do there?
I don't think it rolled over. I think it's just like he held it by the top.
Oh yeah.
And since they're huge, like it just came off and just went straight to the ground.
And so in that instance, you go to the concession, say, "Hey man, I spilled this. Can I please just get it refilled?" You hope they would, because you know it's
$8. I got a soda there, and like it was all seltzer. So I came back and I was like, "Hey, this is all seltzer," and they're like, "Cool, here, have a new one."
That's fair. Yeah. I'd be cool with it. You know, it's. So I have a funny story though. So this usually only happens to you. So our movie this week is The Invite. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil it. So I bought a ticket to The Invite, and I was seeing it like 9:50 on a Tuesday. So
AM?
No, PM.
Okay.
So when I opened my Alamo app, there was two people in the theater. So they were like second row to the last. My favorite seat in any theater is row 4, seat 8. It's right in the middle. It's four rows up, and I like sitting closer. We and you have talked about this. We like sitting closer. I like being enveloped in the screen.
Screen fills your eyes, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm like, cool. Pick my seat. So it's at Sloan's Lake. Sloan's Lake still has the old school Alamo where it's two chairs share a table or two seats. Remember, only two people in this theater. I'm in row 4 by myself. There's literally no one behind me, no one in front of me. And there's, I don't know, what, 20 probably seats in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'll even say 15. I'll give this person a little credit. So I like to get there 30 minutes before the show because I like the pre-show. Get there, sit down. The hummus plate at Alamo is amazing. If you haven't got the hummus plate, it's $10. It comes with pita, fresh cut vegetables. It's really good. So I was really excited. I get my $10 hummus plate. I get my soda water. And it's about 5 minutes before the movie starts. Some fucking lady comes in with her wine. And she's like stumbling around, and because I can hear
her. I'm here to watch a movie. Yeah. I'm going to watch a movie today.
So I can hear her behind me. You know what I mean? Like, I can hear her behind me. And I hear her footsteps getting closer. I'm like, there's no fucking way. She takes the right. She comes down my row, sits right fucking next to me. And when she sat next to me, I did this. You can't see me, but I'm doing a great impression of me looking at all the empty seats to my left and right. There was four people in the fucking theater. Me, the two people that are like five rows behind me, and the chick who sat right next to me.
Do you think she knew what row she was in? Was she like
so
too drunk to like...
I'll tell you a funny story too. Okay. So when I see that, I bring up the app. No, she bought that seat.
Okay.
But why? Why? Sit right fucking behind me.
She's like, ooh, I gotta check this guy out.
So the whole movie was like...
He's a host of a podcast.
So the whole movie, I kept on turning to Martin going... No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. But I was so fucking annoyed. Anybody, and I just... Yeah. So I was so... I was so fucking annoyed. But whatever. It is what it is. Brad, do you recommend the invite?
I do. When I went to see it at the Mayan, I got there early. Not a lot of people. That place was pretty full by the end of it.
Nice.
So, you know, usually those movies don't bring a huge crowd there. But, yeah, and this was, like, upstairs, so it wasn't a big theater anyway. But still, like, usually when I see a movie in two or three, it's, like, me and, like, three other people. But, yeah, invite brought out people, and I was blown away. Like, it's one room, four characters, great dialogue. The cinematography is funny. Like, it informs the comedy. Yeah, I had a great time.
I wanted to see this movie. And same, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. I couldn't believe... And, you know, as you're watching, you go, wait, there's only four people in this whole movie. I mean, I don't care about the 2 minutes before Seth Rogen gets home.
Yeah.
But that's all it is. And yeah, Everybody's fucking great. Olivia Wilde directs the fuck out of this movie. And I was enthralled. I was entertained the whole time. Here's a trailer for The Invite.
Hi. Hi, come in.
Nice to see you.
We are so happy you're here.
Are we expecting people? Can we put curtains on this window? I don't like how they can see into our apartment. This shirt, well, it's nice. It looks really good on you.
Well, you could tell me that once in a while.
Take them off?
I don't give a fuck if you take your shoes off.
For me, no gluten, no dairy, no meat, no sugar.
There's something I've been wanting to talk to you about.
We also have something we wanted to talk to you about. You can ring my bell. Ring my bell. Ring my bell. We feel a very strong connection with you guys.
That is so nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, say thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Very flattering. Mm-hmm.
It's like a little game we have.
They're fucking with us.
We really just wanted to see the apartment.
Why do I feel like everyone knows something except for me? Just to be clear. You, her, and me.
Yes.
Me too.
Yes, also you.
The invite's really funny to me because I'm not as mean as Seth Rogen is in the movie, but it reminds me of my wife because...
I did kind of think about you guys.
Because my wife always wants people over. I want to be left the fuck alone. And so the movie is Seth Rogen is a music teacher. He comes home and his wife is panicky and she has all this stuff set up. and he finds out that she invited their kooky upstairs neighbors over for a dinner party. And you find out that Seth Rogen says, I don't want to deal with them. I can hear them fucking all the time. And so you can hear him fucking the whole time. So there's this great banter between him and Olivia Wilde the whole time about how they're weird and he doesn't like the dude. And she says, well, I think they're interesting. We should have them over. You never want to hang out with people. You just want to come home and do nothing. And
also, I told you weeks ago that we were doing this.
That's right. I told you weeks ago. And he's like, what? And you were supposed to pick up wine. Did you pick up wine? I didn't pick up any fucking wine. And it's the first 20, 30 minutes is them just bickering about them showing up. And then it's Penelope Cruz, who, God, she's fucking gorgeous. And then Edward Norton as Hawk. It's so fucking awesome. And I love that he comes in and he's like kind of douchey, but you really like him.
He's douchey, but he's also like polite.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. His name's Hawk. And then, you know, Penelope Cruz is just really fun and she's really sweet.
But also like free spirited.
Yeah.
And, like, doesn't take any shit.
Yeah. And then there's this awkwardness because Seth Rogen wants to tell them that he can hear him fucking. And, you know, Olivia Wilde says, stop it. And she'll keep on interrupting him and
don't embarrass me.
Yeah, tours around. And she's so great in this movie. She has this manicness about her that I just really loved.
Yeah, well, she's really excited not only to impress them, but also to impress Hawk.
Yeah.
And get to know him.
Yeah, and I was thinking, because I love His Girl Friday. It's a really old movie with Cary Grant. But the script is 230 pages, but the film is only 90 minutes long. This movie felt like that to me, where they're saying a lot of dialogue, but it's moving like quickly. And I love the revelations that start happening, that you find out that they're swingers and that, hey, if you want, we'll fuck you.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, I kind of get that from the trailer.
Oh,
I
don't think I saw a trailer for it.
Oh,
to
really?
Be honest. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I wanted to see it based on who. I'm a huge Olivia Wilde fan. I think she makes really cool movies. And
except for Don't Worry, Darling.
I haven't seen it, but
didn't turn out great.
It's all right. But the way she positioned the camera, or had the camera positioned in scenes, I love the stuff that was in the foreground. It's even like cute little things when Seth Rogen was talking to Penelope Cruz and he says, that's not even jambone, and I just wanted, yeah, this is fucking prosciutto. But it's just fun. And then it takes another turn where you realize how damaged these people are, and it veers into kind of a drama.
Yeah, like how bad Seth Rogen and Olivia Wilde's relationship is.
And that they're only staying together for their daughter.
And then, like, Hawk's douchey name, like, actually has, like, a really sad, connotation
and
to it.
Yeah. Because then, you know, he's being a dick to him, and then he feels like a jerk afterwards. And that whole scene where she's having them express how they feel, it's just, like, it breaks your heart. Because it's not, you can see fault in both of them. And when I watch it, it's not that they didn't love each other, but they forgot why they loved each other. And when she tells a story about how they met and how she ditched the guy and she came running back just to see him, dude, I started I'm trying not to cry. I'm like, this is breaking my heart. And, but then the tension's broken when she says, okay, we're going to go. And then Hawk just pops up from behind the couch because he's trying to give him privacy. I don't know what he's doing, but it was really funny. What really got me and actually made me cry was at the end where he went into his study and he started playing the piano and she came in and put her head on him and started playing it too. So, because she has that line where, he says, I guess I'll sleep in my study.
Yeah. Well, they also agreed that they were going to get a divorce.
Yeah. Or break up. But you can tell that's not what she wants. I think, this is my interpretation of it. is she wanted him to fight for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted him to be happy. And so when he goes in there and he says, you know, she says, okay, I guess you'll sleep out here. And he starts playing the piano and she goes in and it's like a...
And the whole movie's set up that he doesn't want to play that piano at all.
Yeah. And there's a reconciliation there. And you don't... I mean, they never tell you what happened to his band. Because I guess he was semi-successful as a musician.
Yeah. But he's talking about it. He's talking about his music at all. He doesn't want to play anything for anybody.
So he's just an unhappy person.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I felt him more at fault.
Oh, yeah.
When Olivia Wilde was talking about, like, you know, you don't feel like alive. Like, you don't do the music anymore. Like what's wrong with your life? Like, you live in this place.
Yeah.
I'm your wife. You have a kid.
Yeah.
Like,
cause she mentions
you have a decent job.
To Hawk, she says he's really embarrassed about having his parents' place, but he has no reason to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, and
just because he didn't get it, like, on his own.
And she's right. I mean, Olivia Wilde is stunningly beautiful. Be grateful for what you have is the whole point of the movie. And I fucking love this movie.
Yeah.
Because you just literally have four incredible actors in a room. Well, I guess apartment, but...
with a great dialogue and a, like, cool arc
in
the movie.
So, yeah, and then, like I said, I cried happy tears at the end because I thought it was sad, but it was hopeful at the end. Because she just did that little thing where she put her head on his shoulder saying, this is all I wanted from you. I want you to want to be happy. And he might be too stupid to realize, and it still might be too late, but you hope that's a new beginning for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fucking adored this movie.
Yeah.
That's all I want. Anything to add?
No, we covered it.
Cool.
I don't remember, like, the specific jokes that were in it, but, like...
Again, I know, I fucked you over because I was like, I'm going to make this... And you said, well, I saw that, like, 2 weeks ago, you asshole.
I just remember the part, like, when they talk to Hawk and Penelope Cruz, and there's, like... Yeah, well, she invited us this morning on the elevator. He's like, invited you this morning on the elevator.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a funny little twist that she did it that morning.
So no wonder I didn't remember it 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Good stuff. Hey, we watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
This week I watched, you know what? Nicholas Winding Refn has a new movie out.
Oh yeah. I know you wanted that to be the film of the week and as no way.
Yeah. And you're right.
No, he makes shitty movies. Weird.
He's made some really good, like Drive is great.
Oh, okay. I'll give him Drive. Yeah. Drive, love Drive.
Bronson's great. I like The Neon Demon.
That's garbage.
Only God Forgives. You know, on second watch, not that bad. But Her Private Hell.
So who's the lead actress? I really like her, though.
Was My Private Hell. Sophie Thatcher.
Yeah, she's great in Companion.
Yeah. What was the other thing I saw her in recently? Heretic. Did you watch Heretic with what's-his-face, Hugh Grant?
I had not.
See it?
No. Does he? Does he invite girls in and there's a hooker in there with drugs? Oh, that's just real life.
Okay. No, he invites these two girls into his, hey, I want to tell you how the world really works thing. Anyway, Her Private Hell. Nicholas Winding Refn hasn't done a feature in like 10 years. He did that Amazon show, which was also really weird. I think it got to like the second to last episode and dipped. Anyway. I'm not sure what this movie was. I'll read the synopsis.
Cool.
Revenge wears leather when a mysterious mist engulfs a futuristic metropolis, unleashing a deadly and elusive entity. A troubled young woman searches for her father. Her quest collides with an American GI on a harrowing odyssey to rescue his daughter from hell.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's this mist that flows into the city. I mean... It is a pretty looking movie. Spent a lot of time on. It feels like a dream you woke up from. So there's this mist that flows through this like futuristic city. And you meet, I don't know what fucking character, L, that's her character. Havana Rose Lou from Bottoms.
Oh yeah.
Is her mom, but they're like the same age because, her dad, picked her as his wife.
What?
Yep. L and Dominique were just their actor friends. They're making a movie, and L's dad picked her best friend to be his wife.
Okay.
Her dad is Johnny Thunders. I think he's directing the movie, but he has to go off and do something else, so he leaves them behind for a little bit. And before he goes, he tells them the story of the Leather Man, which made me think of Jimmy Fallon in Horatio Sands. That bit the whole time. But there's this Leather Man who wanders the world, dealing with the abandoned or neglected daughters of fathers.
Just to let you know, this might be the most polarizing film I've ever seen rated on Letterboxd. There's 3,400 half stars, but there's also 4,300 three stars.
Yeah. When I was done, I read the reviews. I was like, people like this? They get it? Oh, I'm complete opposite. So Elle and Dominique, they also, there's this other girl who, yeah, Hunter, Elle meets in the lobby of the condo that they stay at. She kind of like joins the friend group, and yeah, they kind of like wait around trying to avoid the Leather Man. Meanwhile,
leather.
Elsewhere in the city, Private K, played by Charles Melton, I fell asleep a little bit at this part, but I think his backstory is that he had a wife and daughter, and then some crime boss killed them, and so he's out for revenge. So he's wandering the Yakuza wasteland, trying to like kill everyone to get to the main bad guy that did that. So those two things are happening at the same time, but it's her private hell, so I don't know. It seems like, is this his private hell? Because he's the one with the loss. But anyway, he fights a bunch of guys, gets his ass kicked, fights a bunch of more guys, and then the Leather Man kills a bunch of Elle's friends, eventually gets to Dominique, kills her. She fucks this guy that Dominique fucked because she's cheating on her father. And then the Leather Man shows up and kills that guy, I think. And then they end up in hell, which is like a giant crystalline like studio set. And there's a part in the middle where they're like at the movie they're making is like a 60s retro Ultraman Power Rangers sci-fi thing with a bunch of girls. And then that crystalline set is actually representation of the hell that's in there. So anyway, Private K chases the Leather Man to that location, and then L shows up there, and Private K and L are both fighting the Leather Man in that scene. But I don't think Sophie Thatcher is on set the same day as Private K, because they never seem to be in the same shot together. And she will like punch through the frame to do stuff. And yeah, she might not even be with there with the Leather Man either. Like all three of them never really seem to interact, even though they're in this fight at the end. Yeah, I don't know what it was about or if it had deeper meaning, but it was pretty to look at and super slow. And I did not. I was just like, it's 110 minutes, almost 2 hours of this. But freaking based on the reviews, like people, a lot of people still loved it.
Yeah.
And there's something about it that I don't get. But yeah, I think the best review is like, watching this feels like trying to solve a dream you forgot 5 seconds after waking up. Yeah. And the only good part was my very own girlfriend, Sophie Thatcher. So she has a following that's like, whatever she does, we're in for it. But yeah, it wasn't the Bronson or the Drive I was hoping for after 10 years.
Damn.
So, yeah. And I also rewatched. Yeah, I rewatched Tenant.
I haven't seen that since it came out in theaters.
Yeah, after watching the audience, I was like, man, I haven't watched. Since, you know, it was 2020. I saw it like twice in theaters, I think. But I haven't touched it since then. And I figured, like, after all this time, I would understand it more.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, watching it, I was like, I understand this less.
Oh, shit.
I know it's, like, intended to be pretty confusing, but still trying to, like, backtrack this, like, device that reverses. Because it's not like you, it's not like time travel. It's like you're walking forward in time, but backward. So it's just like the world inverted. But again, I'm trying to, my brain's still trying to be like, okay, if the protagonist sets all this stuff in motion from the future and doesn't know that he did it in the past, like, yeah. And Robert Pattinson is from the future and he knows he's going to die in the present. And like, why are these, at the end, there's the big climax of like trying to stop this nuclear bomb from happening.
Yeah.
And, what's his name? British guy.
I don't remember.
The actor who's like did a lot of Shakespeare movies, Hamlet.
Kenneth Branagh?
Kenneth Branagh, yeah. Like he's dying of cancer, but he wants to take the world with him. Yeah.
Yeah, another one I have is to watch it again. I haven't seen it in 5 years.
Yeah, I can't explain it. I understand it so much less. Like I felt like after the second time I watched it in 2020,
yeah,
I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. And then now I'm just like, wait, what?
Maybe I don't.
Yeah.
Just lying to myself.
Because if he's like walking, you walk, but like how does the car going forward in the same, I don't, yeah. I think Nolan's just like trolling us.
Yeah fuck it. I'll make it look cool. People will watch it.
Doesn't make sense, yeah. But it is cool when like the inverted stuff does. Like once it hits the halfway point of the movie and like you find out the protagonist like meets himself on the way back, like, yeah, that's like, oh, that's cool. But again, I'm like, my brain can't handle like how the guns are, like if you shoot a gun, like the bullets are already in the target and then he like walks over and then pulls the trigger and that makes them come back to the, yeah.
Again, I'd have to watch.
Like, if you didn't grab the gun, you could walk over the target and see like bullet holes in it. Mm. Yeah, I don't get it. Anyway, that was what I watched.
I only watched one thing this week. Barnes & Noble's having their Criterion sale. So when I went there, I saw Trouble in Paradise, which stars Miriam Hopkins, who I adore. 1932. She plays a pickpocketer, and her fiance boyfriend is a thief. They set their sights on this designer and they're gonna rob her blinds. She's this French designer, she has all this money. It's a screwball comedy, so there's just silly things happening throughout. It's really funny. It's really good. If you like screwball comedies from that era, then it's definitely a winner. I didn't know, I was watching the special features on it. And I guess Miriam Hopkins was really almost impossible to work with. Hmm. And she's just late to the set all the time and just mean. But she portrays the sweetest characters on screen. And she definitely is one that she was really popular in the early to mid 30s. And then she kind of went away. And then you see why, I guess, because people got tired of working with her. But she's really great in that. She's great in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And Design for Living, which is one of my favorite movies. So the Criterion 4K is awesome. It's always cool to see movies from that old. And by putting it in 4K, does it really make a difference? And it really does. They, you know, the grays and the blacks and the whites is just like they just pop. So yeah.
Do they have Huey Lewis in the News's Trouble in Paradise?
Yeah, it's it goes over the credits.
Oh, dang.
Well,
they could use it elsewhere.
Well, it goes over the credits when the bloopers are happening. Oh, okay. So it works really well. good stuff. So yeah, that's really just the premise of it. And you know, the big thing is her fiance becomes the secretary for this Paris designer, and by doing that, he actually starts falling in love with her as well. So it creates this love triangle. Towards the end, he has to choose between the beautiful thief or the beautiful designer corporate lady. And who will he choose? Well, you're just going to have to watch A Trouble in Paradise to see. But since it's Hollywood in the 1930s, it's like a super happy ending. They don't really end on downers very often. And that's what I watched. Next week is probably the greatest movie of all time is going to be coming out. Spider-Man, Brand New Day, finally hits the big
screen. Should we just review it now? Because we know what you're going to say.
I mean, yeah.
Five stars.
Like, there's really no reason for me to review it.
Yeah, we'll skip this week.
You'll just be on the show by yourself.
Cool.
Until next week, we'll see you in the theaters. The Whip.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd. We'll give it all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!